We now bring to these microphones David James, and David and I, with our weekly conversation, are going to focus on another issue. Basically, it's an article by a Baptist pastor, and the title of the article, Do Universalists Evangelize? In other words, the subtitle would be, Is There Biblical Hope for Salvation Apart from Personal Faith in Jesus Christ? Now, that's our focus. And David, you're still out there in Romania with our oldest son, Jim Jr. How's the conference been going, the teaching?
Oh, we've had a great time. I've been teaching current theological issues, as I mentioned last week, and Jimmy has been teaching the book of Daniel and this group of young people that Iulian Avramescu has put together with Life Romania. It's a great group of young people. It's the future of the ministry and the future of Romania, and they've been eager to learn. Lots of great questions, lots of great interaction, and lots of great fellowship.
Well, praise the Lord. So your focus has been on current trends in theology, right?
That's right. And I've covered a number of different topics, including the homosexual same-sex issue, talking about how to discern the truth, near-death experiences and claims of trips to heaven. And also today I was wrapping up with the biblical gospel versus various different kinds of false gospels.
Well, the last issue that you just mentioned there concerning the gospel brings us to our topic for this week, really. This week, the Baptist News Global website published an opinion piece by a Baptist pastor in which he deals with the question, Do Universalists Evangelize?
Well, that's right. It was an opinion piece written by a pastor named Chuck Queen. He's the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Frankfort, Kentucky. And he's a regular contributor to this outlet, and I get their things regularly. At one point in the article, he says, he writes this, I certainly do not believe that there is any need to save people from eternal damnation, but there is a great need to be God's instrument and agents in seeking the lost. And what he means by that is people who are kind of floundering and kind of aimlessly in society, and he basically holds out being a Christian and Christianity as a better lifestyle and a lifestyle that offers hope. But he's not talking about evangelism in the sense of rescuing the lost. In fact, in another point in the article, he says, this is my version of evangelism, meaning extending this message of Christianity as a hopeful lifestyle and a place where you can find community in his church. And he writes this, we don't need to save people from eternal perdition. And he basically wraps up the article with that, saying that we just need to bring people into our community and our fellowship of love.
Well, I would suggest we probably need to take a moment here and discuss exactly what is meant by the term universalism. And is there any biblical defense for universalism?
You know, it sort of began with when liberal Protestant theology began in the 1800s, really took root. But at that time, they didn't really give much theological thought to it. They just basically rejected the things in the Bible that had anything to do with anything except the love of God. But now, in more recent times, they've tried to find biblical basis for it and try to give us an air or a sense of credibility. And one of the main places they would go to would be Romans chapter 5. It definitely talks about the fact that God has reconciled mankind to himself through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And in Romans 5:8, we read that God demonstrates his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And then he goes on to say that through Christ, in verse 11, we have now received reconciliation. And then they would go further, and they would take this further, and they would say, for example, in verse 19, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So what they do is they take these passages that we're talking about, the process of how one enters into a right relationship with God, which we know salvation is offered as a free gift, but a free gift must be received, and what they're saying is that regardless of faith, that gift has been given to all men, whether they want it or not, and so that all would be saved. All will either be saved in this life, or they will be saved in the next.
Well, in the article, this pastor describes himself as a hopeful universalist. What does that really mean?
Well, what he means by that is he's just not really sure of his position. He says, I'm a hopeful universalist, and he said, do I believe in divine judgment? I do, he writes, but not in the traditional sense of banishment and exclusion. So what he means is he's just not certain at all about what he believes concerning what the Bible says, but he holds out hope that because God is a God of love, that ultimately, again, whether in this life or in the next, after death, the people will be drawn to and overwhelmed by God's love and therefore embrace him and be saved.
You know, his theology sounds like it's essentially the same as that of Rob Bell, who used to be located, built a large church there in Grand Rapids, Michigan. In fact, I was associated with Radio Bible Class, and Marty Hahn came out with some very positive statements about Rob Bell that concerned me. But this was another pastor who has a background in conservative evangelicalism.
He wrote a book that was published in 2011 called Love Wins. Before he was the pastor of Mars Hill Bible Church, he was a member of Calvary Church there in Grand Rapids. And that church has a history of being what is known as an IFCA church. The IFCA used to stand for the Independent Fundamental Churches of America. And the church that I currently go to is an IFCA church. This fellowship of the churches has historically been very conservative. A lot of these guys who have been even in the emergent church movement have a background in conservative, Bible-believing Christianity, but they've reacted to that, and they've gone off into some major heresy as they have reacted to what they have grown up with.
David, take a moment, and what would be a few passages of the Bible that make it clear that salvation is only found in and through Jesus Christ?
Wow. Well, we could certainly talk about a lot of them. Everyone is familiar with John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And everybody knows that verse, but a lot of people are not familiar with a verse just two verses later, verse 18, where Jesus said, he who believes in him, meaning the Son, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then in John 14, Jesus made the statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, he said, there is no salvation in any other, meaning any other than Jesus Christ, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Paul says this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And obviously, Paul being a very logical theologian, the point is this, if you don't believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, if you don't confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, then you will not be saved. So we find this over and over again.
How would you respond then to the question of whether there might be an opportunity for someone to be saved after they die? That's a big question today.
Well, certainly it is. Well, one, I would point to Luke chapter 16, and that is where Jesus told the story, which I believe is a true story, not simply a parable. And this is of the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus was a believer, and when he died, he went to paradise, what is described as the bosom of Abraham, and that's the place of comfort where Old Testament saints would go before the resurrection. And the rich man was an unbeliever, and he is found in Hades suffering in torment in the flame. It's very clear from this discussion that this rich man has with Abraham that there is no hope for him. In fact, he begs Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead to tell his brothers about it so that they won't come to this terrible place. And then if you think about Revelation chapter 20, when we read about the great white throne judgment, beginning in verse 11, John writes, and from what he saw, he said he saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. And in verse 12, he says, the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And then verse 13 says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead in them, which would include the rich man that Jesus was talking about in Luke 16. And then the final thing that happens is death and Hades, and meaning all of those who have died as unbelievers, all those who are in Hades or hell, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So obviously there is no opportunity after that. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, and that's the judgment that we see in Revelation 20.
Of course, you've been talking about Bible prophecy, and that's a focus of our program here. Do you see any prophetic implications in addition to the ones you've talked about in connection with a false gospel of universalism?
Yes, I do, in many ways. You know, we've talked about this before in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. Jesus is talking about the tribulation period and things that will be going on both in the last days, and we know that things that are leading up to the last days. He said there will be many false Christs, many claiming to be Christ, and with everybody who is a false Christ, they're going to have a false message of salvation. So in the last days and leading up to this time of God's judgment, there's going to be a proliferation of people who claim to have a message of salvation that is apart from salvation in and through Jesus Christ. We know in Revelation 17 that the Antichrist is going to be involved in setting up a false Christianity and bring all the religions of the world together to have what would be the end times religion, which is going to offer a false gospel. And then finally, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we know that when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel at the midpoint of the tribulation, he's going to enter into the temple and he is going to declare himself to be God. He's going to abolish the false religious system, the false Christianity is set up, and demand that people only worship him. And people will be ready for that because they have believed lies and false gospels up to that point.
And all of these activities, the prophetic events that David's been talking about, yet in the future, but we see the stage setting that is taking place now for the fulfillment of those prophecies. David, I'm so glad to hear that you had good ministry out in Romania, and do have journey's mercies as you travel back home. We'll talk again with another issue next week.
I'll look forward to it once again. Thanks so much.